Trump recently pulled up to Bloomberg and he did an hour-long interview. Now, we know that Kamala Harris is not willing to do an hour-long interview. How do we know that? Because she's never done an hour-long interview. And so they limit her talking points so that she can spew her word salad. And then what that does is it allows for you to have a minimal amount of time to ask quick questions so she can hit the same talking points and act like she's giving y'all some different insight. That's why the Fox News interview hit differently. But Trump has allotted for his time to be used effectively to be asked questions, including here on Bloomberg. So that's what I want to focus the majority of the show on today. I want to focus the entire show on what happened on Bloomberg, and I want to get into the full interview and I want to break it down into several different parts, all right? So I haven't listened to it yet, but I'm definitely want to have this conversation with you guys. Again, make sure y'all hit a like for the algorithm, subscribe to the channel and turn on your notifications. And let's rock.
Thank you, John. Thank you. Thank you, Claire. Thank you, the Economic Club of Chicago. Thank you, David, particularly. I want to say two things at the beginning. The first is just for the record and for those people watching on television, the Economic Club of Chicago and Bloomberg both invited Vice President Harris to a similar interview about her economic plans that she has declined so far. And second, just to set some parameters about this interview, which I was just discussing with President Trump, we're going to focus on business and the economy, and that's partly because this is a business audience, but it's also because voters insist that the economy is the main issue that matters when they vote. So on that note, let me invite onto the stage President Trump.
Yeah, I heard he was in the Bronx at the barbershop.
I like that crowd. That's a nice group of people. Thank you very much.
Standing ovation.
Welcome to Chicago.
Thank you.
President Trump, thank you for doing this, as we said. And you heard the reception there. The business people of Chicago, like everywhere else, they like a lot of the things you want to do in terms of tax cuts and some of the spending proposals, but like many business people, what they're often worried about is the cost.
Mm-hmm.
And the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget, which is a bipartisan outfit, put out some predictions the other day. If you add up all the promises you've made and your plans would add $7.5 trillion to the debt,
mm-hmm.
that's more than twice the total for Vice President Harris. You're on course to push up debt up to 150% of GDP. You know, this is a very business-like audience.
Yeah.
Why should they trust you with that?
Because we're about growth. She's got no growth whatsoever, and we're all about growth. We're going to bring companies back to our country. You look at even today, as I was driving over, I see these empty, old, beautiful, like steel mills and factories that are empty and falling down. Some have been converted to senior citizens' homes, but that's not going to do the trick. And we're going to bring the companies back. We're going to lower taxes still further for companies that are going to make their product in the USA. We're going to protect those companies with strong tariffs, because I'm a believer in tariffs. I'm not sure that you are. I don't think you are, but I congratulate you on your career. But to me, the most beautiful word in the dictionary is tariff. And it's my favorite word. It needs a public relations firm to help it. But to me, it's the most beautiful word in the dictionary.
Tariffs, do you think that will bring in the revenues? To use another bipartisan group, Peterson Institute, they say they only bring in $200 billion. That is only, that's barely the cost of two of your promises.
Yeah, but that's like, for what company are you talking about, okay? Look, I've brought in with tariffs, and I was just getting started. Then COVID came, and we had because I tell you what, I did a very good job in COVID. Nobody knew what the hell it was. I call it the China virus because I like being a little more accurate. But when that came, but We got hundreds of billions of dollars just from China alone, and I hadn't even started yet. But tariffs are two things, if you look at it. Number one is for protection of the companies that we have here and the new companies that will move in, because we're going to have thousands of companies coming into this country. We're going to grow it like it's never grown before, and we're going to protect them when they come in, because we're not going to have somebody undercut them. And I could give you an example of this if you want. Would you like me to? Because it just
give me
happened.
A quick example, and I will come back.
I just found out about it. So I've been talking about for the last year about Detroit and how horribly it has been. You know, it's just horrible, because we've been talking about Detroit's coming back for 40 years, and it's never come back. And it's very dependent on the car industry. Well, they've lost 60% of the business over a long period of time. And what happened is I found out a friend of mine builds auto plants. That's all he does. He builds auto plants. That's what he.
Before we get into this, I'm glad that he doubled down again for a couple different reasons. Even though I live in Detroit and I decided to stay here because I see an opportunity for growth, and we've been growing and we've been making a lot of money, but we haven't grown as fast as we've lost the jobs and the economic opportunities, specifically under Jennifer Granholm, who is now the right-hand person to Biden. And often at times you can see former Governor Jennifer Granholm next to Biden in his cabinet and his administration. And she was one of the people that shepherded in and allowed for Clinton and Bush and all of these people to come in and absolutely destroy Michigan economy at that time. And so I don't look at it for two reasons as a negative thing, as far as him calling out what's happened and how our jobs had been decimated over a period of time, especially the manufacturing industry, because at one point, Detroit was practically the New York of the United States of America. It was a place where you went and got all of the jobs. Now, because you've seen what happened with Clinton as far as them outsourcing and allowing for foreign companies to come over here and then take and poach all of our jobs while at the same time pushing all of the manufacturing outside of the United States of America, what it did was it decimated an industry. It decimated the steel industry. It definitely decimated the automotive industry. And it decimated manufacturing, which ultimately led to companies killing other companies because the manufacturing industry abroad was decimated. And all of the companies and the restaurants and the businesses and the small businesses on top of that suffered. And the beautiful thing about what Trump is saying is he's saying, listen, even though you guys are evolving, you still haven't grown. Not to the point to where you should be, because you should be a world-class city. Here's the beautiful thing about it. A, and this is what I like about him, he didn't back down from it. He addressed it accordingly. He said, this is the problem. It's the same thing that he did back in 2015, 2016. He said, look, y'all schools is jacked up. HBCUs bomb. Black communities absolutely destroyed. You want to continue to do what y'all been doing for the last 50 years, or you want to see what we can do? It's the same thing that he said as far as using the city as an example. But Kamala will switch and she'll flip-flop and say, fracking, no fracking. You see what I'm saying? And so he doubled down, and now he's adding a context. And I like that, because that's the definition of masculinity, and that's not pandering for a vote. And it's telling the truth and addressing a real problem. Let's continue.
He's good at, he doesn't want to build an apartment. All he wants to build is, and he builds the biggest in the world. And for the last year and a half, if anybody's heard me speak, I was talking about Mexico as a tremendous challenge for us right now, tremendous. China is building massive auto plants in Mexico. And they're going to build them, and they're going to take those cars and sell them into the United States. They're very near the border, and they're going to have all the advantages and none of the disadvantages. And that's going to be the end of Michigan. It's going to be the end of, frankly, South Carolina. Going to be the end of everything. So I've been talking about this, and I said to him about 9 months ago, I said, you know what? I want you to do me a favor, John. His name is John. I don't want to give his last name because he might not like it. But I said, I want to see an auto plant. I want to go and see one of these. You know, you press a button and everything works, right? I want to see one of the big ones. He said, all right, good. I said, where do we go? I'd like to go to Michigan. I'd like to go to someplace in the United States. He said, no, we can't do that. Why? We're not building anything big in the United States. That's not where we don't build the big ones here. I said, where are you building the biggest ones? He said, in Mexico. We're building giant plants, the biggest plants anywhere in the world. In Mexico, I said, so you mean they're going to make cars cheaply? They have advantages over...
Somebody said Trump is capping. No, he's not. He's absolutely not. Listen, if you want an example of it, all you got to do is look at what's happening with Stellantis and Chrysler and Dodge. When those UAW contracts hit, immediately they started building plants in Mexico. The Dodge Ram is moving to Mexico. Where they used to build it in the United States of America, they're phasing it out and they're moving it over into Mexico. BYD, Build Your Dreams, is partly funded by China and Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger were some of the biggest investors in BYD, which is an electric automaker who is taking over the world, and they're flooding different markets all over the world, except for the United States of America, with their product. And what Trump is telling you is 100% real. But see, y'all not going to realize it. Y'all not going to catch it until it's over with. Until you have no job, and then you have to basically be on socialism, and you have to get a check every month, a standard-ass check, because nobody can work every month, and they completely flood the market, sell all your money, sell a car to y'all, take all your money, because it then coincides and it aligns with the infrastructure deal that Biden is pushing through. And then they're going to sell it to y'all. The Democratic Party is going to sell it to y'all in the form of, look, y'all, prices is cheaper. But they don't y'all don't realize they basically taking away your jobs. So what's the point of something being cheaper if you can't afford it because you don't have a job to work in the first place? Why would you sell out the American manufacturers for Chinese products like we've been doing for the last 40 years and think that something is going to benefit you? It's not. He's 100% telling you what is going to happen to you if you continue to support this bad agenda. That's not going to be best for you. And then they got 80,000 new IRS agents to make sure that they go and audit your Cash App. Can't even do hair. Most hairdressers is now taking cash now because they don't want to do the Cash App because they don't want to make anything over $600. It's a fact. All of the plants, they're about to shut Chrysler down. Right up there in Auburn Hills, right in Michigan. I talk to the different people. I have relatives that work at the Chrysler plants that shuttered right now. They're not making no products, but they're building all of them plants over there in Mexico. So stupid, man. Yep, you know about it, DJ Ace. You aware? People, because they don't like him, they will spite their own face, cut off their nose to spite their face, and kill their own opportunities. Because they don't like him and they want to vote based off of identity politics. It's amazing to me, bro.
Labor and other things, and they're going to sell them into the United States, and they're going to put Michigan out of business. Is that what? I don't know anything about that. All I do is build the plants. If you want to see a plant, we'll go to Mexico. I'll show you the biggest plant in the world. That was 9 months ago. I saw him, and I talked about it all the time because I think it's a serious threat to our country, because not only autos, but other things. So then I see him. 2 days ago, I was talking at another club, very nice club, and like this, except, I don't know, I think you people are probably even wealthier, okay? This was in Detroit, okay, which was appropriate. And I was talking, I was showing them all sorts of charts about how their car, you know, it's just gone down, it's like terrible. And I saw him, and I said, oh, how are you doing? How have you been? I said, could I ask you, how are those plants that you mentioned, those giant plants that you're building in Mexico, how is that coming along? Have you finished them? No, sir. They abandoned the project when they heard you're running. They abandoned the project when they saw that you were winning and doing well. I said, wow.
All the same.
Because I told them, and I said it publicly, they're not going to sell one car into the United States. I said, if I run this country, if I'm going to be president of this country, I'm going to put a 100, 200, 2,000% tariff. They're not going to sell one car into the United States because we're not going to destroy our country. Because I know you're an anti-tariff guy, but I'm the exact opposite.
I love this. And he's clear. He's concise. He's telling you exactly what he stands for and what he's going to do. And he's explaining it to you to where you are absolutely understanding. He's using real examples. This is a person that understands economics, understand policy, understand tariffs, understand the world market. And it's funny because Chinese won't even let you come into their country and do business unless you actually pour into their economy and you partner with a Chinese company to where they then steal your proprietary technology and then they push you out. It's a fact. You have to partner with one of them in order to do business with them, but you can come over here and do whatever it is that you want to do when you want to do it. Tell me how that's fair.
No other way I could have stopped them other than, what am I going to do, negotiate with Mexico or China? You're not going to get anything from them. I said I'm going to put a 100, 200, or 300. I'm going to put the highest tariff in history, meaning I'm going to stop them from ever selling a car into the United States. So I just see the guy by accident. I see him. He says, sir, they've abandoned those. And by the way, they built foundations. They were really rocking. They were going to do it. They thought that I was going to win, or maybe they're just holding off. I tell you this. If I don't win, those factories are going to wipe out this country. They're the biggest factories ever built for cars. They're going to wipe out our country. If she wins, and she won't even, she doesn't know what the hell she's doing. If she wins, she's not going to be thinking about, I couldn't, every speech I made having to do with cars, but every speech I made having to do with tariffs, I'd mentioned that our country is being threatened by Mexico. Now, all of those things, beyond even the car companies, all of those things are now dead. They're dead. I asked him, will they start? Probably not. They're dead as a doornail. If she gets in, it'll start up again.
President Trump, I'll let you give your example. You talked a lot about tariffs. You look at the American economy, 40 million jobs rely on trade. It accounts for 27% of GDP.
Okay.
If you cut that off, that's also going to have an effect on many, many business people here.
Yeah.
Tariffs also have another side. Isn't that something that you have to acknowledge?
No.
You could be plunging America into the biggest trade war since Smoot-Hawley.
But there are no tariffs.
There are tariffs already.
No, there are no tariffs. All you have to do is build your plant in the United States and you don't have any tariffs.
But people, in a lot of places like this, there are a lot of jobs that rely on foreigners coming here. You're going to basically stop trade with China. You're talking about 60% tariffs on that. You're talking, as you said, 100-200% on things you don't really like. You're also talking about 10-20% tariffs on the rest of the world. That is going to have a serious effect on the overall economy. And yes, you're going to find some people who will gain from individual tariffs. The overall effect could be massive in terms of the economy.
I agree. It's going to have a massive effect, positive effect. It's going to be a positive, not a negative.
Well,
let me tell you.
Give me an
example. I know how committed you are to this, and it must be hard for you to, you know, spend 25 years talking about tariffs as being negative, and then have somebody explain to you that you're totally wrong. It'll have a negative. It will have. I'll go
40,
step further.
40
if
million,
you don't
40
do
million,
this,
President
this
Trump,
country
40
has
million,
no
40
chance.
Million jobs is a lot of jobs to rely on.
They're
trade.
All coming back.
Those
You've
40
lost.
Million jobs. Those are 40 million jobs in America. That rely on trade.
Are you ready? John Deere, great company. They announced about a year ago they're going to build big plants outside of the United States, right? They're going to build them in Mexico.
And you threatened
they're
them
also
with
tariffs,
build them. And they stopped.
That's right. I said, if John Deere builds those plants and not selling anything into the United States, they just announced yesterday they're probably not going to build the plants, okay? I kept the jobs here. And I'll keep the John Deere will stay here. And I'll tell John Deere, if you do build outside of the United States, you can if you want. For instance, India is a very tough country. It's not only China. You know, China is, I would say, probably the toughest. But there are a lot of tough. You know what's very tough? European Union. Our beautiful European countries, wonderful, wonderful. If you add them up, they're almost the size of us. They treat us so badly. We have a deficit. I said to Angela Merkel when she was there, she's not there anymore, I wonder why, but when she was there, I said, Angela, how many Chevrolets do we have in Berlin? Why, Donald, you have none. He said, that's right. How many Fords do we have in Frankfurt? I don't know, none. I said, that's right. You know how many cars we have? Mercedes-Benz, and BMW, and all of the different Volkswagen, millions and millions of cars. And then I said, farm products. You know, they don't want our farm. They don't want anything from us. We have deficits that are crazy. And we're not going to have them anymore. We're going to put tariffs on them, and they're going to do, and you know what they can do? The Mercedes-Benz will start building in the United States. And they have a little bit. But you know what they really are? assembly, like in South Carolina. Yep, that they build everything in Germany, and then they assemble it here. They get away with murder because they say, oh, yes, we're building cars. They don't build cars. They take them out of a box, and they assemble them. We could have our child do it.
Can we come back? Let's come.
Nope, he's 100% right, and I'm very thankful that he is willing to just have the uncomfortable conversation. If you look at any... This is an old school one. This is my old school. This is my 96 Impala. I'm trying to see this real quick. Because I don't know if they had it on there back then in 96. I don't think they had it on there back in 96. But if you look at the... if you look at the sheets, a lot of times, it'll tell you exactly how many parts is actually from the United States of America and how many are from foreign countries. And then it'll say assembled here in the United States of America. The majority of the parts or the majority of every single thing, whether it's an iPhone, all the way up until a car that you buy, all the way up until the majority of the materials in your house that you use, whether it's lumber, the locks, the cameras, the flooring, most of that stuff is coming from outside of the United States of America. Most of that stuff is coming from outside of the United States of America. And if you look at the sheet, you know, I got the old school one right here. But if you look at the sheet, it'll tell you, hey, listen, this amount of parts is coming from this what? But it's assembled in South Carolina. And he's right. Even though you say, okay, well, Mercedes-Benz have a plant here. Mercedes-Benz have an assembly plant here. They don't have a stamping plant. They don't have manufacturing facilities. They don't make parts here. They don't source stuff from here. They make it everywhere else. Everywhere else. And then they assemble it here. Then they say, oh, no, we making parts here. A lot of the cars, when I ordered my 911, they made it all the way over there. And then they shipped it over here. And then you just had to pay a premium for it. It's just the facts. And we are operating at a trade deficit from the majority of these companies just to say, oh, no, we're going to preserve it. No, we need to create jobs here. And people don't want to go through it. They don't want to figure it out. They don't want to have it. None of that stuff. They don't. They absolutely don't. And so if we want to build a better future for our children, if we want America to be strong and safe, if we don't want to continue to operate at a trade deficit, at some point, because tariffs was also supposed to be things that supplemented and prevented us from having to pay an extraordinary amount of money in taxes. But people don't understand the history of this country, and they don't understand how these presidents that came before you sold us out. And they sold our futures in order to get some extra money in their pockets back then, and it absolutely ruined America and has put us in this position right now. But we still are one of the biggest and the strongest and the most prosperous nation on the face of this earth. And we need somebody like a Trump to come in and do things the way that he said that he's going to do them. Otherwise, you're going to see every single job go over to China, Mexico, and we're not even going to assemble them here no more.